Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, once again coming into your home, car, MP3 player, computer, whatever it is you happen to listen to the podcast with. Here we are, and running a day late. Here it is, Sunday, May the 21st. Yes, the doctor is late. Why? Because of many things. One, it was a maintenance weekend at the Center for Creative Leadership, which means, of course, that I had to be there. And that kind of threw a little bit of a wrench into doing the podcast at the time that I normally do it. So here we are on a Sunday afternoon doing the podcast. Just for you, because you really want it. Yes, indeed. Well, we've got a lot of things to talk about. I've been doing a lot of blogging this week. Well, not a lot. Okay. More than usual. Let's put it that way. And I've got some things to share of a geek culture nature. I know you folks really enjoy that, and so we've got that for you today as well. Now, what is happening in the podcast world this week? Well, first of all, I want you to know this is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon Podcast number 37. And again, as I mentioned, for May, and actually the 21st. It should have been the 20th. I know. I'm running a day late. Just, you know, cut me some slack on that. But anyway, what's been going on? Well, there's just so many things that I want to get into. And I think I'll just jump right off into it with all that's fit to podcast about. How's that? One of the cool things was fuel from water. Now, how do you get fuel from water? First of all, a disclaimer, I'm not saying pour water into your gas tank of your car. That would be bad. Okay, that won't work. Now, this is a special means of getting fuel from water. And indeed, I have a link to a Windows media file that has more details on that. It's actually a kind of a news release from a TV station. And so I want you to see that or hear that.
Machine on.
Denny Klein fires up his hot new invention. His machine emits a flame that feels only slightly warm to the touch. But watch what happens when he touches anything else.
Instantaneously, I can burn a hole right down through the center of that brick.
The flame instantly turns hotter than the surface of the sun. Heat so intense it takes only seconds to literally burn a hole through charcoal. 3 seconds turns a brass ball to glowing liquid metal. Tungsten lights up like a sparkler. Steel, lead, and other metal slices on contact. Yet the tip of the welder stays cool to the touch.
No other gas will do this.
Denny Klein uses an alternative fuel source once thought impossible. He says people still have trouble believing him when he reveals his liquid fuel.
Water. Take water and electricity, and we break it down through our very unique electrolysis process.
Klein has just patented his process of converting H2O to HHO, producing a gas that combines the atomic power of hydrogen with the chemical stability of water.
It turns right back to water. You can see the water running off of this.
Klein originally designed his water-burning engine for cutting metal. He thought his invention would replace volatile acetylene in welding factories. Then one day, as he drove to his laboratory in Clearwater, he thought of another way to burn his HHO gas.
On a 100-mile trip, we use about 4 ounces of water.
Klein says his prototype 1994 Ford Escort can travel exclusively on water, though he currently has it rigged to run as a water and gasoline hybrid.
Simply speaking, it can change the world by reducing our dependence on fossil fuels.
These are equivalent to our...
Pete Dominici is helping Klein take his hydrogen technology patents from a two-room office in Clearwater to consumer markets around the world.
You know what? Microsoft came out of nowhere, came out of the garage. Why not hydrogen technologies?
The duo is already in negotiations with one U.S. automaker and the U.S. government. Their plans have grown from basic welding with water to powering the entire world from the safest and cleanest fuel on Earth. Craig Patrick, Fox News.
Members of Congress recently invited Denny Klein to Washington to demonstrate his technology. Now his company is currently developing a Hummer for the U.S. military that can run on both water and gasoline. So far, his water-powered engines have passed all performance safety inspections, so all systems appear to be go right now, and gives new meaning to the term running water.
You just have to hope that water prices don't go up like the gas. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now I realize as I started that you couldn't see it. I was watching it here on my computer, but if you do want to watch it, there is a link on the in the blog that you can click on and actually watch the Windows Media format video from the TV station, Channel 26, wherever they may be, that had that story. It's really amazing. Now, you know, it may turn out that it's all a hoax and that the whole news story was a hoax. I don't know, but it sure looks cool. And if he's right about being able to take 4 ounces of water and travel 100 miles, wow. That's pretty neat. So, I truly hope that it is true. And I said that in the blog entry. Man, that's cool. All right, so moving right along. Geek Software of the Week. You know, I like to refer you to geek software that is of high quality and yet is either open source or free. This qualifies in both areas. It is an open source project. It is also free, and it's awesome. And I like it. It's simple. It's very simple, but I like it a lot because I'm always using some kind of little small text editor. Now, with Windows, you get Notepad, and Notepad has improved through the years. At least now has a global replace feature and a couple of things that it has acquired as it has matured a little bit. But there are certain things that it would be nice to be able to do in Notepad, and Notepad++, our Geek Software of the Week, qualifies as that way more. Plus is right. It can do so many things. It does syntax highlighting. Now, I like that because I can open up an HTML document and my syntax is all highlighted, so I can easily find things to make quick changes. One thing I really like about it is a macro recorder. You can click on the recorder function and go do a series of things in the document, click off the recorder, and then replay it, and you can just repeat that function over and over and over again. Very, very cool. So I would encourage you to check it out. If you're like me and do a lot of text editing, and I'm talking about just simple basic text editing, but you want just those extra few features, check out Notepad Plus. It will really be something I think you'll use a lot. And you can associate your text files with it and just use that as your main editor and kind of forget Notepad, because believe me, once you've used Notepad++, you will go, whoa, what did I use a Notepad for? Anyway, next item. Are we close to Star Trek Impulse Engines? Now, for those of you that are not Trekkers, let me just give you a little background. You know, in Star Trek, you had the warp engine. The warp engine allowed you to go much faster, orders of magnitude faster than speed of light. And so they would talk about going warp 1, warp 2, warp 3. Each warp was a geometric progression higher than the last one. So warp 2 was not just, you know, double the speed of warp 1. It was much faster. And, you know, there's a whole formula of how to figure out the warp speeds that are in Star Trek. And I'd refer you to the Star Trek Encyclopedia and other books for that. But the impulse engines were engines that put out power, propelled the ship forward, but did not have, you know, gaseous emissions, smoke, if you will, coming out the back. And, of course, our rockets today are chemical rockets, usually, and they're all this smoke and stuff coming out the back and everything. So it's not that kind of rocket. Now, the idea is that an impulse engine, to us, would be this giant leap forward in speed and technology. I mean, an impulse engine, full-blown, full-speed impulse engine could get you around the solar system very, very quickly. It's just when you needed interstellar flight that you used warp drive. And so they would often drop down out of warp and use their impulse engines. Well, according to a history professor, now, you know, it's like I say in the article, I really would kind of believe it a little better if it were a physicist. But according to a history professor, they are working on what the story calls smokeless rockets. But basically, they use a process, a physics process, that is similar to the impulse engines in Star Trek. And so we may be approaching the day that we have energy-based, quote, rocket engines. Now, I realize you can't have a rocket if you don't have some form of, thrust coming out of the back in the form of, smoke or whatever. So I'm not going to get into that. But I'm just talking about having something that is similar to an impulse engine. And theoretically, check out the link, see what you think. Maybe we're getting there. And if that's the case, dude, that would be cool. All right. Next item. Oh, boy. Would you let a robot operate on you? Now, for me, no. Here's the thing. The robot has a scalpel. The robot is guiding that scalpel based on a software program. Now, this is not remote operation where the doctor is guiding the scalpel and the electronic arm and all of that stuff is obeying his commands. This is operating based on a software program where the arm, the robot arm, is in effect doing it itself. I don't think so. Given the problems that we've seen with software these days, no, I don't think so. Okay, but this robot did a heart operation. A 50-minute surgery took place in Milan Hospital. Figures it was in the United States. And was carried out on a 34-year-old patient suffering from atrial fibrillation. Assuming I pronounced that anywhere near correctly. Dozens of heart specialists attending an international congress on arrhythmia in Boston also watched. Okay. I just don't think I'm ready for robot heart surgery. I think I'll just pass that one on by. How about you? All right. Next item. Here's a news item that came out this week. A lot of folks were talking about, and that is, will you and I be able to run Microsoft Vista when it finally comes out? Well, okay. Microsoft finally released the minimum requirements for Vista. Now, get this. A Vista-capable PC, the absolute minimum. Now, keep in mind that in the past, when Microsoft has issued an absolute minimum, they mean that the machine would boot eventually, would run eventually, but you couldn't really actually get any real work done on it, okay? You remember those old specs of what Microsoft said it was absolute minimum. So keep that in mind. This is the bare minimum. It will install and maybe even come up and possibly run with this. An 800 megahertz processor, 512 meg of RAM, and a DirectX-capable graphics processor. Now, I can remember the day that an 800 megahertz processor and 512 meg of RAM was considered a big machine. Now, I realize that's been a little while back, but you won't even be able to barely get the thing booted unless you have at least that. Now, what about if you want to really use the features that's in Microsoft Vista, the real Aero Glass interface features? All right, here's what we need. The premium version requires, now keep in mind again, this is a minimum, okay? This is not, wow, this is blowing the doors off, the mouse icon is just zipping all over there, the mouse icon, the arrow, you know what I'm saying. The mouse pointer is zipping all over the screen and you're just getting so much done and you're multitasking doing all this. No. This is minimum again. Think in terms of minimum. Here we go. A 1 gigahertz processor, 1 gig of RAM, 128 meg of dedicated graphics memory, DirectX 9, and WDDM, the Windows Display Driver model for writing drivers, along with supporting Pixel Shader 2 and offering a color depth of 32 bits per pixel. Okay, that's the minimum for the premium version of Vista. Now, they say that if you really are serious about upping the resolution to 1200 by 600 pixels, you'd better go ahead and get 256 meg of graphics memory. So, basically, wow. There you go. Now you know what it's going to take to run Vista. Okay. Let's move along. Next item, zero-day attack using Microsoft Word. Now, you know what a zero-day attack is. That basically means, okay, this came out of the blue. Boom, it's here. We're in the midst of it. The attack is occurring. We haven't had any patches for it, and everybody's scrambling to get one, okay? That's where we're at. A zero-day attack has been reported that allows a fully patched Windows XP system running Microsoft Word. Now, this is one you've connected to the internet. You have run all of Microsoft's updates. You are fully ready and patched. All security is locked down, everything. But if you're running Microsoft Word and you hit this Trojan, then you're going to be compromised. So what happens? Somebody sends you an email with an attachment. It's a Word document. You open it up. Then you get a notice. Oops. This document needs to be repaired. Oh, okay. You go ahead and click on OK to repair it. Boom. It installs a backdoor on your system through this Trojan, and they start using your system to throw junk out all over the internet. Okay? So, what's the answer to this? There is no patch yet. Microsoft will get one out eventually. But in the meantime, do not open email attachments. Do not click on Word documents. Do not open them up. If you were to somehow open up a Word document and see that it says, would you like to repair this? No, you don't want to, because you will be running this zero-day exploit for Microsoft Word. Ouch. This is bad. Okay. All right. And while we're on the topic of Microsoft being so very secure, yeah, right, Microsoft this week dissed open source by basically saying that if you want to run software that is solid, that you can bet your business on, avoid open source and go with Microsoft. Uh-huh. They basically said that open source is not reliable or dependable. Now, you know, it's like I say in this blog entry, I have been a Microsoft system admin for years and years and years. Okay, I mean, that's what the people that hire me want me to run. Fine, I can do that. But when I go home, all of my servers are not running Microsoft software. All of my web servers, email, DNS, none of them are running Microsoft. They're running Linux. Now, why is that? Because I want them to run all the time. I don't ever want them to crash. I don't want to have to fool with them. I don't want to have to go over and pet them and rub them and say, come on, please run, please run. Tell you what, my brother-in-law, I work with him at CCL, he has this gift of being able to come into a machine, Microsoft system that's misbehaving, and just rub it on it and say, come on now, work for me, come on, and it'll just start working. But you know, I don't want to have to do that to keep my machines running, so I run Linux. Why? Because open source is what I think of when I think of dependable, reliable, it's always going to run. Not Microsoft. Give me a break. Oh, man. All righty, we got a little bit of time left, and I'm glad we do, because I want to get into some geek culture stuff, okay? You know, last week I played the audio from Star Wars done by bunnies in 30 seconds. Now, if you missed that classic of geek culture, I'd encourage you to go back to last week's podcast, listen to it, and or click on the link in the show notes and catch that. Now, this week, my brother-in-law John, who I just mentioned worked with me at CCL, shared with me a video. And I have a link to that in the show notes for this week. And you've heard of Weird Al Yankovic, hadn't you? Yeah, I'm a big Weird Al fan. I've seen a lot of his videos. This one somehow got by me. I seem to have missed it. But John shared it with me, and I want to share it with you. And it's Star Wars. Hey, geeks, we love Star Wars. I mean, hey, as a geek, I saw Star Wars over and over and over. And I have the DVDs, and I've seen them over and over. I love Star Wars. It's just so cool. Especially, you know, with all the effects and everything. It's just really neat. So, Weird Al gave the Weird Al treatment to Star Wars. And what's really cool is he did it to the tune of American Pie, which is one of my all-time oldie favorites from my youth. Don McLean's American Pie. Used to sing it all the time. Kind of a weird song, but it's amazing what Weird Al does with American Pie, the tune, and Star Wars, the saga begins.
Injected with a poison.
A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas, then met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the Queen. We all wound up on Tatooine. That's where we found this boy. Oh my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Did you know this junkyard slave isn't even old enough to shave? But he can use the force, they say. Do you see him hitting on the queen? Though he's just 9 and she's 14. Yeah, he's probably gonna marry her someday. Jedi. Now we finally got to Coruscant, the Jedi Council we knew would want to see how good the boy could be. So we took him there and we told the tale how his midichlorians were off the scale and he might fulfill that prophecy. We caught a ride back to Naboo, 'cause Queen Amidala wanted to. I frankly would have liked to stay. We all fought in that epic war, and it wasn't long at all before little Hotshot flew his plane and saved the day. And And in the end, some Gungans died. Some ships blew up and some pilots fried. A lot of folks were croaking. The battle droids were broken. And the Jedi I admire most met up with Darth Maul and now he's toast. Well, I'm still here and he's a ghost. I guess I'll train this boy. And I was singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. We were singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. You know, and you gotta see the video. Yeah, go check out the link and see the video. Alright. I don't know if we've got time for it or not, but I'm gonna try to get it in too. Also found out, and, John shared this with me today, that there is a Yoda, song by Weird Al that fits right in with this. So, we're gonna go ahead. Share that one with you as well, because it's just geek culture. Here we go to Lola by the Kinks.
I met them in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name and in a raspy voice he said Yoda. Y-O-D-A, Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-yoda. Laughing around, but I ain't never seen a guy who looks like a Muppet, but he's wrinkled and green. Oh, my Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-yoda. Loud, not dumb, but I can't understand how he can lift me in the air just by raising his hand. To go astray, let the force be your guide. Oh, my Yoda. Yo, 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 Yoda. I know Darth Vader's really got you annoyed, but remember if you kill him, then you'll be unemployed. Oh, my Yoda. Yo, 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 Yoda. Well, I heard my friends really got in a mess, so I'm gonna have to leave Yoda, I guess. But I know that I'll be coming back someday.
Yoda, you gotta love it. Star Wars forever, dudes. Oh my. Really need to see the video that goes with this. Lots of Yoda footage from the movies and cool stuff. So check it out. I've got a link to that in the show notes as well. We went just a little bit over by doing that, but I really wanted to share that with you. And trust you really enjoyed it. Little geek culture coming off the web right off of YouTube. YouTube's a great place to find videos that people have posted. And, there's a lot of weird stuff out there, but I really like those. All right, well, I tell you what, it's just about time to roll on out of here. So until next week, just remember that the doctor really likes Star Wars and geek culture. Yeah, I really do. Okay. Well, I'm out of here. The doctor is out. In a galaxy far, far away.